people that couldn't be here today that I speak for, because they can't get, because they're nobody, they don't know what to say, but nobody's listening to them. I mean, we've been here many, many times, and it seems like back and forth, back and forth. So, I mean, that's the question I have. Who's watching for who? Who's looking at the long term? What's going to happen if you do this, this, and this? Because right now, I've been in a lot of the meeting. Every meeting has to do, you know, whether it's the Myers or that, not Lena Reno, not Lena. But that's the part. It is, we need it. But it is also, and if you look at the Zoom now, and you look at the master plan, what's best for the people that live here, the people that work here, the people this, those are the things that you gotta think about. You can't reverse this thing. Once you decide to do one thing, it's gonna go that. You know, if you made a mistake at Silver City, that is what it is. And, but what you guys is gonna be bylaw. I mean, basically, if you approve this thing, it is, you know, so I'm not gonna, speak to any other compatibility, but my biggest thing is just, you know, you got a lot of people here concerned that, a lot of voices, and I just hope that you guys listen to the people that actually the taxpayer there are. I know that these guys are taxpayer, but they're a different kind. There's a different master plan for everything, and that's what you got to think. What is it in a 30 mile, what's the best, where do we put things in the right place? I think those are the things that, and I thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Next, anyone on the same row? Next row back? Anyone? Last row? We're moving to this side. We want to start at the front. Who's first?
Scott Brindley, 241 Trinity. When we've been here before, first round, we brought you a petition signed by over 80 of our residents against it. This round also had nearly 80 residents sign against the idea of the nightly rentals, and it's all based basically on just compatibility. So just to quote for the record, a compatibility is land usage and or improvements that are similar to that of other land usage and or improvements within 1,000 feet, whether directly adjoining or not. Okay, we understand that. Few places were put in, and thankfully for Google Earth, which, so I can't do exact property line to property line, but I got as close as I could. The landing is 1,300 feet away. Lions Club is 1,200 feet. Kanakuk is 1,468. If you go from Woodbridge Drive at the top of the hill right there at South Fork to the closest property line I could find for Kanakuk, which is all wooded, it's not developed, it's 1,020, and the zip line's sitting at 1,600. And on top of that, none of those are similar. You know, nightly rentals is different. Also, according to the definitions that you have listed online, a commercial property is also property or activity associated with a property established for the sole or main purpose of saleability and or profitability. Such commercial activities include business, industry, and trade. Nightly rentals is business. It's for saleability or profitability. The whole area is residential. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Next, that's signed up.
Hi, Gary Brennan, 139 Trinity Road. Two doors down from Scott. I just want to say it would be a gross injustice to allow nightly rentals in there. And I really think that it would even be an injustice to allow 19 units down there to access through the narrow roads of our track. It's just kind of a sleepy little neighborhood, and we like it that way. And that's about it.
Okay. Thank you. Next.
I got a property in 466 South Fork, which will be affected, you know. problem right here. And, you know, last time I talked about safety, about vehicles, the people, if you approve this, it's going to be people that doesn't know the area. And, you know, this person is an employee of Kanakap. They just come for the summertime. And so accidents do happen. And so these people, the traffic is going to increase big time, I would say. And so if this is approved, I mean, it's going to be a lot of accidents. And that is that. And I mean, I didn't write nothing down, so I kind of forgot what I was going to say. Besides, oh yes, Barnabas, you know, it's just in, also in, South Fork, I mean, Lakeshore and, Timberlake. And they open, a business, let me see, what is it called? Bed and Breakfast. And so, that also is increasing the traffic even more. So, you know, I just want you to think about what it's going to be if you approve these properties. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else?
I'm going to be real quick. I live on 310 South Park. Is basically right on the end.
Your name, sir?
My name is John Matt Giovanetti, and I don't care if you drop them in nightly rentals by zip line. We just don't want nightly rentals. They don't fit there. It's the neighborhood. It's a quiet neighborhood, and we like it that way, and that's the bottom line. So
that's it.
Thank you. Okay, did I get everyone that signed up to speak? Okay. You want to come back up?
Yeah. I'll try to make it quick and answer some of the questions. If we build nightly rentals, it's the same amount of construction traffic to build 19 nightly rentals as it is to build the 19 homes. The traffic count is almost identical to doing the same thing. So either way, they're going to have the same number of traffic, either way we build. The only differences are with the nightly rentals, it's regulated. So there's nobody buying it as a rental house, selling, you know, renting it as a rental house, which if anybody has rental properties, they know how they do get trashed, more so than nightly rentals who have put up credit cards, deposits, and all that, and people do chase them down. Nightly rentals are typically, by your guys' rules, are controlled by property management companies. It's part of the conditions that you showed at the beginning. Not that I have proof here, but nightly rentals have a higher value than residential, so that's not going to hurt property values. It's certainly going to be way more valuable than the way the land sits now. If we went in there and built houses, we have the right to build 19 houses. There's no going to planning and zoning or anything. It's already platted as 19 lots. The roads are there, they're approved, the water, the sewer, everything is in. We could start construction tomorrow. One foundation is technically already in from about 10 years ago. We could build six-bedroom houses. They could be rentals, they could be whatever, that's perfectly okay. They could have their mother, father, everybody live with them and have twice the traffic count of the nightly rentals. It is humanly possible if you want to go for worst-case scenario. Nightly rentals are compatible with neighborhoods all over this area. I don't think you can find very many areas that don't have some nightly rentals, from Branson Hills to Branson Creek to Thousand Hills to just about every community has a nightly rental here or there. Our next project, Wolf Trail, has a nightly rental in the middle of it that was approved. So I don't think it's incompatible in the reasons of traffic count, because the traffic count's going to happen one way or another. Their roads going up and down South Fork are going to have exactly the same number of dump trucks and everything. The only difference is in the nightly rental, there'll be one trash truck running through. not six or seven different companies. Yes, there'll be a cleaning crew that comes through and cleans units, if all handled by the same management company, which the one we have set up would handle all that. It'd be the same cleaning crew coming through and taking care of multiple things in one day. Might be two teams if they can't keep up, depending on the rate of rentals. There'd most likely be no mail, unless somebody buys one to use as a residential house. So there'd be no mailman, no school buses. So there won't be a lot of kids just running around wild all over the neighborhood constantly. There won't be a troublesome family that moves in for a year that you can't get out, or a landlord doesn't care about getting out, or just lives there and wants to be a problem. You get people for a week or two, sometimes a few days. As far as the snow and the road and everything, the road was approved by the county. It was built to the county standards. Whether it's residential or not, there's still going to be snow, ice, and all that to move here. The good thing about nightly rentals is there's usually less people here during that time, so traffic will be less of a concern than residential. The previous owner didn't give up because the property was tough terrain. He gave up because of the economy in 08, and he lost his butt and gave up everything, and the bank ended up with it. The other thing we won't have, if it's everybody uses their units as nightly rental, there'll be no garage sales. So there won't be the traffic problems that they're having with the garage sales up there on the main roads. They, customers might have a problem getting through there. I understand that. Again, on the road, I've driven the road, I don't know, probably 30 or 40 times in the last 4 or 5 years that I've owned the property. I've never had an issue getting through. I you get stupid drivers and they park in the middle of the road. I get that. That happens on, Coon Creek Road. I had that happen more there than anywhere, especially recently. We get that everywhere, and anywhere we go, people do silly things and block roads. You could have a 32-foot wide road and still block it. You know, he knows what I'm talking about in some subdivisions he's worked in. In the nightly rentals, it doesn't mean that all the units will be sold as nightly rentals. That is our goal. It means that people can either buy the house and live in it, go away for Christmas or whatever, have, you know, rent out their place as a nightly rental while they're gone or whatever. Or if they're going to live there part-time for 6 months or whatever, they can rent it out at other times. It does not mean that it's a full-time nightly rental. It just gives people options. The measurements that were brought up to Camp Kanakuk, if you go from Woodbridge Estates Road at the top yellow part of where our property starts, it's 700 feet to the beginning of Cannon Cut's property. If you go straight east from the east of our property, it's 800 feet to the zip line property. To the zip line, it is further, like it said, 1,300 feet. If you go to the west from the most westerly point of our property, easterly part of our property towards the Lions Club, it's just under 500 feet to the back of their property. I don't know where you guys count to, whether you count to the building, the parking, or the property. My past history is it's the property. There are multiple other buildings that you could count. There's a gas station. I'm using Beacon, and it says not to use it as being exact. It comes up 1,001 feet from the property, or the storage was one of the two. Maybe it was the storage complex, and the gas station was a little bit further. So I very much feel that it is very compatible with the neighborhood. I don't agree that it's a commercial business. That's just a difference of opinion. As far as accidents happen no matter what. If we have residential in there, we're going to have a bunch of teenage kids driving in and out and so forth. It's not going to be any different than somebody else. You can have an idiot neighbor that revs their vehicles and runs around, or you get somebody that drives a dump truck that's going to live there and run their Jake brakes down the hill. I mean, there's a number of things. I could go on and make it sound like residential is a horrible thing. I really could. And some of us, and maybe all of us at some time, have lived in one of those neighborhoods. You know, there are places that have mobile homes next to houses.